adopted. I'm a child of the King. God is my Father, and He owns everything. He walks beside me. He's my very best friend. Praise God, I'll never be lonely again. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. I've got a new song. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. I finally belong. I've got a brand new family overflowing with love. I'm a child of my Father above. Adopted, hallelujah, I've got a new song. I'm adopted, hallelujah, I finally belong. I've got a brand new family overflowing with love. I'm a child of my Father above. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Habakkuk chapter 3. We were talking today, Brother Koblenz and I were talking today. They took us out to I guess it would be lunch supper. We went about 2 o'clock. It was sunch, or I don't know what it was. We went to eat anyway, and we were talking about revival, and you know the concept of revival, and the word revival is not in the Bible. The word revival is not in the Bible. The word revive is in the Bible. The word revived is in the Bible. But the word revival, it's not in the Bible. But we refer to this week as we are having a revival meeting. You remember last night we were talking about a holy convocation, an assembly? But I believe that we can experience revival as we assemble together, whether it be for a six-day meeting or whether it be Sundays and Wednesdays. And I made this statement, I think revival should be a everyday thing in the life of every Christian. Yes. Every day we should be revived. And I used the illustration of when we get up and we feel like we're half dead and we need to be revived for that day. We need to be renewed. We need to be made alive. And that applies in our life spiritually.
Yes. Amen.
Every day as well. So this, as I said already, revival is not just for this week. It's for every day as long as we exist upon this earth. And so Habakkuk in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And by the way, Habakkuk, it's a short book as far as verses and chapter go. But I just want to read you the headline that how they broke their chapters down in my Bible. And number one, it says that verse one is an introduction. A lot of times, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. That tells us what this book is basically about, was the burden of Habakkuk. And so that's number one, if you would outline this. Number two, in my Bible, it says Habakkuk's problems. And then under A, it says problem number one, why does God allow wicked practices to continue in Judah? He had that question. If you read verse 2, 3, and 4, he asked that question. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? You ever felt like that? Yeah. You ever felt like heaven was dried up and that your prayers were not getting into the presence of God, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you had no answer from God, and you said, Lord, how long will I cry? And you would keep your ears stopped up. My mom, I probably told you this, I won't tell you again. My mom said, there are some things you can pray about until you're blue in the face, but they're not going to happen. We don't like to hear that, do we? I hope that you would agree with that statement, because everything that you pray for does not happen. Yeah. Amen? Whether you want to admit that or not, it's true. We pray and we pray for the healing of our loved ones, don't we? But sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. We pray and pray for the salvation of our loved ones and our friends. But guess what? All of them don't get saved.
Right.
Amen? I'm telling you the truth. There are some things. Now, does that mean we should quit praying? No. Not at all. We're to pray as long as we have breath, amen. We're to petition God and bring our requests and our petitions and our prayers and our needs before Him every day. And I asked my mom kind of, not sarcastically, but I asked my mom, I said, well, Mom, what's the use to pray? If we know God's not going to answer something that we can play to. She said, just in case that it is His will.
That's good.
I like that. That goes along with the logic she gave me one time about finances. Son, don't never get so deep in debt that you can't go to Dario and get you a number one combo. That's two hot dogs, fries, and a drink. $10. Me and Pam share it. She won't eat the hot dog. So I take it off of hers and I eat both of them. She just eats a loaded bun. Slaw, mustard, onions, and chili. In North Carolina, that's called all the way. First time I went through the state of New York, I was about 14 years old. I went downstairs in the hotel and went up to the counter where they fixed sandwiches, and I ordered a hot dog, and I said, I'd like to have it all the way. She said, all the way where? Know what all the way was. I said, you know, mustard, onions, chili, and slaw. And she said, well, we don't have that. And I said, well, what you got? I think it was chili and mustard or ketchup or something, you know, or whatever. And it's like, that's like when I went in the store that same trip and asked them where their nabs were. Don't know what they are either, do you? Crackers. Lance. You know them little orange things? They're square. They got peanut butter in them. That's nabs. I said, where's your nabs and pop? You thought I was talking in a foreign language, amen.
You were.
I was to them, wasn't I, brother? It was crackers and soda, I guess. You know, so I was speaking in the wrong language. But it's like the advice, hey, why pray, Mom? Because who knows? It may be God's will someday to answer that prayer, amen. Oh, aren't you? I'm so glad my daddy and my mama didn't quit praying for me concerning salvation, amen.
Yes.
Even though it took 21 years before I surrendered and put my faith and trust in God, I'm glad that it's kept on praying, amen. And kept on petitioning and kept it going before God until one day He sent the Holy Ghost, amen, down my way.
Amen.
And convicted me that I was a lost sinner dying and on the way to hell. Yeah, you'll never, ever make me think anything else but that the prayers of my dad and my mom rung, if you'll let me put it this way, rung the prayer bells of heaven, amen, and got God's attention. And He sent somebody to my house. But G God's not going to always, God, how long shall I cry and you're not going to hear? So you see the problem of Habakkuk. God, why are you allowing the wicked to practice and to prosper and continue in Judah? Is that not somewhat what we see in America? Well, in verse 5, God gives the answer, and I'm not going to take time to read all of that. Verse 5 through 11. Well, when you come down to verse 12, under number 2, Habakkuk's problems, you'll see problem number 2. Habakkuk asks the question, why does God use wicked people to punish Judah? God does that sometimes. Did you know it? Did you know God uses wicked people to accomplish His will?
Sorry,
yes, He does. Yeah, that's over my head. You know, I don't say that I fully understand that, and Habakkuk didn't either. And it's why he asked the question, Lord, why are you going to use wicked people to punish us? Why are you going to use those who pay no obeisance to Thee, and you're going to let them punish God's chosen? Well, in chapter 2, verse 2, God gives the answer to that question, and I won't take time to read that. But look in verse 1 of chapter 2. Habakkuk says, when he asked that second question, God, why are you using wicked people to punish Judah? He gets a little, I don't know if he gets arrogant, or he's out of his league. Hey, amen. He's out of his league. In chapter 2, verse 1, He kind of, I don't know that he did it in pride or he rears back on his haunches or whatnot, but he said, Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he, God, will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I don't know that Habakkuk was saying, bring it on. I want to know the answer. You may not want to know the answer. Amen. You do not want to challenge God. But look what verse 20 says of chapter 2. It said, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. He's basically saying, hey, it's like a strong command where it's saying, you better just be quiet. You know, sometimes it's just better to be quiet. What's the old saying? Let people think you're a fool rather than to open your mouth and confirm it. Or something like that, you know. And that's true sometimes. That's a hard lesson that I'm still trying to learn. But, so that's the context of chapter 1 and 2 of Habakkuk's problem. And so, in verse 1 of chapter 3, I want to read the first two verses and focus upon these. It comes to that it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. And here's his prayer. O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. At least he heard Him. There's a lot of people ain't even listening.
Amen.
There's a lot of people not even listening to see what thus saith the Lord. That's the furthest thing from their mind. That's why there's hardly any fear among a lot of Americans in this day and time of God or anything in that respect, because they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't know the God that we know. They don't know the God that demands reverence and demands respect. Amen. Therefore, they don't fear Him. But he said, Lord, I heard Your speech and I was afraid. And so then he makes a request in his prayer where he says, oh Lord, and this should be our prayer every day when we get up. Oh Lord, revive Thy work.
Yes.
And as I studied this some today, I came to the conclusion he's not so much talking about things done in the church per se, visiting or working physically or whatnot, or talking about tangible things when he says, revive thy work. You know what God's work is? Us.
Yes, amen.
We are His work.
Yes, sir.
We are His work. You're looking at a work in progress.
Yes, sir.
Lord, revive me. Revive thy work. That which thou hast done, amen. I'm already saved by the grace of God. I am his and he is mine. And he's still working on me. And God, every day when I get up, amen, I need to be revived. I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed. You know why we have such little effectiveness as witnesses in this world? We get up and we're dead every day. We're not living in the light of the Lord. We're not living in his power. We're not letting him renew us every day. But we're not even asking him to revive us. Because we think we can take care of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And revive ourselves. And we think that sometimes we can do it in the power of the flesh. But we can't. We can't. We can't do it in the power of the flesh. We got to be like Habakkuk. We got to say, Lord, revive me. Revive thy work. And he goes on to say, in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I put a little note I wrote out in my Bible. He's saying, God, perfect your work. Perfect me in the midst of calamity. I am in the world, aren't you? How many of y'all are here tonight? Most of you. But whether you realize it or not, you are here. I am a witness to that. I see you. But in the midst, I am in the world, but I am not of the world. Amen. I'm not asking God to take me out of this world. I'm not asking him to remove me from the evil of this world. I don't understand everything that goes on. I don't understand why things happen the way they do sometimes. But hey, that's not mine to worry about, amen. You know what I should be worried about every morning? Is pray the prayer of Habakkuk, amen. And say, God, revive me today, amen. Give me some life. Help me to make a difference in your work, amen. Boy, wouldn't it be amazing what could be done in Thurmont, Maryland, if everybody in this church got revived in the work of God and his work on you? And if we got where we need to be with God? Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are as close to God tonight as you've ever been in your life? How many of us are as close to God right now, spiritually speaking, as we've ever been in our life? How many of you feel like you're walking and talking with God, that he's your best friend, amen, that he's always by your side? I'm not as close to God tonight, Brother Wilson, as I've ever been in my life. I've been closer to God at times in my life than I am right now. I'm confessing to you. You confess to God. It takes communication to stay close to somebody. Amen. You know how men first stay close? Communicate. Men don't like to talk a lot of times and they don't like to listen. I know you ladies wanted to say amen right there. Have y'all ever noticed that men and women are different? Has anybody in here noticed that besides me? Physically? Emotionally? We're different, amen? Have y'all ever noticed women are generally more compassionate than men? Stuff that she cares about? I could care less. That's why I have, for my primary care physician, I have a woman doctor. A man don't care if you live or die. They just want your money. You're just a number on the cattle truck passing through. And the quicker you get by, the better. He can move right on. You know, he don't ask you questions, how you doing. You know, is anything I can do for you or whatever? No. He said, Mr. Wall, you're doing fine. You look good. That's right. $100. See you next year. If you have any problems, don't call us. We'll call you. But it's like, my primary care physician just retired. Gwendolyn Wigan Bowling. What a name, B-O-L-L-I-N-G. Boy, she was a good doctor. Still is, but she just retired. You know, when I had my physical every year, she'd come in there. You know what? She'd spend almost an hour with me, asking me questions. What do I need? Is there anything I can do for you? She had no problem sending me to something. If she didn't know something, she said, I need to send you to a specialist. I need to send you to someone else that knows more about your situation. She didn't mind doing that. You ain't going to get no man to do that. Maybe you will. I don't know. I never could get one. But, hey, men and women, we're different, amen? We don't, us men, you know, if they're communicating with us, and sometimes we're not listening. Have you ever been put to the test, fellas? Your wife be telling you something, you ain't listening. You're there, but you ain't there. And she'll say, you know what I mean? Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. What did I say? Now what are you going to do? You know, I just make up something.
That don't work.
No. You know, I might catch a word or two of it, and I can kind of, you know, I get out my phone and go to AI. Yeah, what did she say? AI, help. Serious. This is a serious situation. But communication. He said, Lord, hey, how many of us are walking as close to God? I'm just asking a question. I'm just trying to get us to think. I've thought about this a lot in my own life. And man, I'm going to tell you, being close to God, there ain't nothing like it.
That's right.
Sometimes it's in the midst of trouble, isn't it? It's sad to say, but I think the times that I've been closest to the Lord is when physically or in the things of this world, I've been the lowest in my life. I thank God. Sometimes maybe he puts us in that position so that we don't have any way to look but up to him. You know, it's sad that he has to do that. But if it's necessary, he will. He said, Lord, revive me in the midst of the years. Revive me in this wicked nation. We are his work. And so with that in mind, in that sense, in that principle of things, yes, we can have revival, even though the word's not in the Bible. We can be revived every day. We can be made alive. We can be renewed, amen. We can be, listen, we can be effective in the things of God. And it does make a difference when we witness to someone or whatever. But I thought, hopefully by the end of the week, hopefully before then, there will be some results if we allow God to revive us.
Yes.
Amen. There will. It's good medicine.
Amen.
When we walk close to God. Amen. It's good medicine, if you'll just let me use that phrase. And there will be some noticeable results in our lives and in the lives of our friends and in the lives of our family. There will be some noticeable results in Pioneer Baptist Church. There will be some noticeable results in your pastor, Brother Stanley Wilson. And every member of Pioneer Baptist Church. So, I don't know if I jotted these down. It don't look like something I could think of. So, I must have stole it from somebody. I just can't remember who. I would give them credit, but I don't know where I got it. Maybe I did write it down. Maybe Pam wrote it down and snuck it in my Bible. I don't care. I'll take it any way I can get it, amen. But I thought, what are going to be some of the results of revival if we really pray like Habakkuk did and said, Lord, revive me. Revive this work of yours in the midst of this wicked and perverse and cruel and wicked generation. I wrote down four things. Number one, I believe if we do experience a reviving every day, we will have a changed attitude towards sin. Amen? We will have a, we that are saved will have a changed attitude towards sin. What do you mean? I think, first of all, we'll have confession of sin. We don't like to do that, do we? Do you know it's hard to admit when you're wrong or when you're sinful or when there's sin in your life? It's hard to even admit it to God when there ain't nobody else around. Because we don't want to think that we're that bad, Brother Tracy. That we that have been saved, I'll soon, in November, I'll be saved 47 years. How in the world could a man that's been saved 47 years and read the Bible those 47 years and went to church those 47 years and prayed those 47 years, how could he be as carnal as he is sometimes in his life? And don't tell me you're not. In some way you are. Whether you hide it well or whether sometimes it pops out and displays, there's not a one of us in here that are not guilty of something. That we don't need to confess to God every day of our life. It's hard when I pray with my wife. In a certain way. You know why? Because it's hard to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins in front of my wife, because she thinks I'm perfect. No, she don't. She knows I'm not. But it's hard to do. It's hard to confess our sins. And I'm not saying we air our dirty laundry publicly. It's like that men's preacher's meeting one time where they all met, you know, and they were having preaching and singing and praising God. And man, the Spirit of God just got loose in those men. And they began to stand up and confess their sins to one another in public. And everybody in there had stood up and confessed their sins except for one guy sitting in the back. And everybody was starting to look at him. And they said, brother, do you have anything you'd like to confess? He said, yeah, I'd like to confess. I don't trust any of you. And I ain't telling you nothing. And I thought about that. And I'm not saying this church is not in this position. It could be. But wouldn't churches be wonderful if they had such a love for one another? Listen to me. If they had such a love for one another and cared about one another so much to the point about their burdens that we could stand up and confess that which God has put upon our heart and not worry about it being told or gossiped about outside of this congregation. Maybe this church is there. I don't know. It may be. But I'm just saying, if we get revived in this world, we'll have a changed attitude towards sin, which will include that we will confess our sins at least to God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's some that won't even confess their sin to God. But not only will there be a confession of sin, there'll be a forsaking of sin. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing to confess it, but it's another thing to forsake it. In years of pastoring, I've seen people, the only time they came to the altar is something bad was going on in their family or in their life. And they'd come down and they'd weep crocodile tears and they would pray and all of that. But just as soon as things started getting better in their life, they'd go right back, Brother Wilson, and go back and live in the same sin that they were living in before. They wouldn't forsake that sin. And as we talked about already, repentance is turning from that sin, leaving that sin, running from that sin. But you see so many people that they won't forsake their sin. I've dealt with people like that, with alcohol, with drugs, with lust. And they would even come to me sometimes and confess that sin, but they would not forsake that sin.
I'm going to tell you, if we have revival, if God revives this work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the age that we live in, we're not going to be perfect. No, but I'm going to tell you something. We'll keep shooting for the mark, amen. There's besetting sins. The devil knows what buttons to push on us. He knows what gets to us. And there are things that we may repeat in our Christian life. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get up the next day, amen. I'm going to keep on fighting, amen. I'm going to keep on trying to forsake that sin. I'm going to keep on trying not to let that temptation come in front of me.
That's right.
If I go down, I'm going down swinging, amen. By the grace of God, with His help and with His blood, I'm gonna do my best. I want to forsake that sin. I want to get away from that sin. Not only confess it, but hey, you know what? Also, we'll have a hatred of sin.
Amen.
We'll have a hatred of sin.
Yeah.
Things that we hate, we shouldn't participate in. We can't ostracize ourselves from the world. I know that. But hey, we can hate sin. I hate what sin does to people. I hate what sin has done to members of my family. Mm-hmm. It's ruined their lives physically, spiritually, mentally, every way. I hate that. I hate the fact that sin, Adam and Eve, chose to allow sin to come into this world. And I don't really like the term they fell into sin. They chose sin. They didn't fall into anything. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew the truth of God's word. God had told them what they need to do and how they need to do it. They just chose to believe what the lies of the devil. They didn't fall into nothing. They went in wide open. Eyes wide open. Knew what was going to happen. They did it anyway. That's just the weakness of men. But we're to hate sin. We have a change. Hey, if we have true revival, well, there'll be a change of attitude towards sin. Boy, even in good fundamental, to use that word, independent Bible-believing churches, a lot of them have changed their attitude towards sin.
Sure.
They've changed their, would you allow me to use this term? They've watered it down. Yeah. Amen? They don't want to offend somebody. It's not that we're trying to offend anybody. We're just trying to preach the truth of God's word, amen. You know why your pastor stands up here and preaches the word of God? Because it's the truth, amen. It don't always feel good, does it? No, it hurts sometimes, but we ought to hate sin. So we have a changed attitude towards sin. Number two, we have a changed attitude toward the Savior.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hey, do you think much of Jesus tonight? What do you think about Jesus? You ever ask anybody that question? That's a good way to open up a conversation. What do you think about Jesus? You'd be surprised what the answer you get. But hey, what do we think about Jesus based on our actions? Hey, it'll change our attitude. If we're revived, if we're made new each and every day of our life, the work of God, it'll change our attitude. You know what'll happen? We'll get a thirst for His Word. I bet there's some of y'all in here ain't read your Bible today. You ain't had time, right? You ain't thirsty for His Word. You had time for everything else. You know how you get time to read the Bible? You make time. You make time. But I believe if you get revived, you say, preacher, you always read your Bible like you should have? Nope. I dare say most of you ain't either. But if God revives this work in the midst of this wicked and perverse nation, there's going to be a hunger and a thirst. Hey, do y'all remember when you first got saved?
Yes.
Can you remember that?
Oh, yes.
When you got born again, did you have a hunger to learn? Was you thirsty? Were you like a sponge that just, it's like, man, I remember when somebody would get saved back in the day and they would go to church anywhere they could find a church. I mean, anywhere they could find a revival meeting. They'd go every night of every week because somebody had revival about all the time. They wanted to hear the preaching of God's word. They just couldn't get enough.
Yes. Amen.
But if we get revived, and I'm talking to them, I'm talking to myself tonight, there'll be a change attitude. We'll have a thirst for his word, amen. We'll be hungry to see what thus saith the Lord. We'll find a little time at least every day to read what he has to say. But not only that, I think it'll create within us a desire to pray. Talked about communication. We're to have a desire to talk to the Lord. Express to him our needs and our desires. But not only that, I think if we have a changed attitude toward the Savior, we'll desire to be like him. We'll desire to be like him.
Amen.
You know, I choose every day when I get up. I told Pam this morning, I even told Mr. and Ms. Coles, I said, I got an attitude today. Y'all ever get up with attitude? Y'all ain't going to confess nothing, are you? I'm not talking about a good attitude. You know, it's like, she said, well, just don't think no sad thoughts. I said, it ain't sad thoughts. I just got an attitude. I just like, You know, it's like when you're driving and you just want somebody to do something wrong so you can blow the horn at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want somebody to pull over in front of you, just zip over in front of you and slam on the brakes so you can blow the horn and holler at them. You know, what's wrong with you? Just, you know, and today, yesterday it wasn't like that. But today it's just like, I said, man, I need to get rid of this attitude. It's not a good tude. When I got up this morning, I didn't feel like I wanted to be like the Savior. I want to be like a wall. W-A-L-L. My inheritance. But you know, and I told Pam, I said, I gotta get out of this. You know how I get out of this? Change my attitude toward the Savior, amen. Start communicating with it. You know what I did? I got my Bible out, amen. I began to read of God. Hey, you know what I did? I listened to a couple of good gospel songs, amen, that had biblical background to them. And you know what? It began to lift my spirits. Instead of, now, I could have went and watched Fox News. Or I could have, you know, reveled in all the wonder of this world. I could have just said, man, I'm enjoying this day. I could have just went somewhere, just tried to aggravate somebody. I did. I stayed with Pam. But I made an effort. I said, God, you know, I said, God, help me overcome this. I don't want to be like this today. You know what? He'll help you.
Yes.
It might not turn out to be a perfect day, but I promise you that day will be a whole lot better in that respect than it would have if you just give in to the flesh, amen, and just go for it.
Amen.
It'll change. Hey, you'll want to be like him. It'll be a changed attitude toward the Savior. Number three, the results of revival. And I'm not talking about this meeting. I'm talking about us individually. It'll give us a change attitude toward the saints.
Amen.
Not only the Savior, but a change attitude toward the saints. You know what will happen if we're revived? We'll have a desire for fellowship with one another.
Amen.
We'll look forward to assembling ourselves like this right here. You know what? I'd rather be around God's people than anybody else I know.
Yes.
I'd rather be around God's people. Hey, this right here does me more good than any TV program I could ever watch. This right here does me more good than any ball game that I could ever go to.
That's right. Amen.
This right here even does me more good than any family function.
Amen.
That's an easy one, ain't it? No, this right here, this fellowship with one another. Hey, like we do before church, amen, talking with one another, joking around with one another. enjoying each other's company, just inquiring about one, good, hadn't seen some in a while, just renewing old acquaintance, amen, just fellowshipping with one, talking about the goodness of God, amen. Man, me and Brother Ed, we talking about woolly worms. It was ironic that he brought up something about a woolly worm, because me and Pam just saw two woolly worms today when we were walking. They were crossing the road. We walked out here today on a long road, and they were crawling across the road. Well, I tell them, Brother Ed, you know, I said, I'm getting mellow in my old age. I don't like to see anything get killed. I was trying to save a woolly worm today. I was trying to pick that woolly worm up and get it. What now, honey? Getting out of the road. I said, come on, buddy. We'll get over here. We don't want nobody to run over you. Not too many years ago, I went, amen. I squashed that rascal. I said, too bad, old bud. Better look next time. There wouldn't be no next time, would there? No. But I like coming here and talking with y'all, amen. These young folks, they make me feel young. I like being around young people, teenagers, amen. Hang around with them. I like being around you old fogies, too, but... I bet you ain't been called that in a while, have you? I'm an old fogey, too. Sometimes I'll tell Pam, get them old people out of the way up there. She says, we are old people. I was visiting this lady in the rest home, Kizzy Pretty. That's a name, ain't it? P-R-I-D-D-D-Y, not P-R-E-T-T-D-Y. Kizzy Pretty. She lived to be 102. I'm like my daddy. I hope I don't live to be 102. But she was about 92, 93. We was at the rest home walking down the hallway, and there was a couple in front of us kind of moving at a slow pace. She said, come on, let's get out from behind these old people. They're too slow. I said, Kizzy, you're 92. I actually told her that. I said, do you think you're not old? Yeah, but these people are really old. They're too slow. Yes. But I just like to be around God's people. You know what? Before I got saved, you couldn't get me in a church. After I got out from under my daddy's roof, I had to go for almost 18 years. It wasn't a choice. I had to go. But when I got married, I didn't go to church. I went to church maybe two times, once for a funeral, once for a wedding. I was a pallbearer in one of them. I had to go. It was her great-grandmother, Primitive Baptist Church. I thought I was going to die before they got done singing Amazing Grace. If you've ever been to a Primitive Baptist church, you know what I'm talking about. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And they got six verses in their book. I was thinking, Lord have mercy. I had to sit on the front row. I didn't even have a suit. So I probably told y'all this. We had a department store named Singleton's. I went and bought a sport coat and a tie, and I wore it to the funeral, and I took it back and got my money back when it was over. I'm wasting no money on no suit coat. Wear one time. I didn't want to be around God's people. I was a preacher's son. I lived in Mount Airy after we got married. And man, somebody knocked on my door all the time, wanted me to come to church. Well, there was a pastor, the church that we went to after I got saved, that pastor used to come to my church all the time, knock on my door. If a door was open, he would stick his head, he would step inside the screen door and say, Brother Randy. I don't know why he called me brother. He called everybody brother or sister. Brother Randy. This is Brother Don. I just want to talk to you about church. We'd be up in the bedroom. Me and Pam and Monica. I said, don't nobody move. If anybody says anything, you've had it. And he'd finally go away. Then he'd come back the next week. And like I said, my superintendent would invite me to church every Friday. I wouldn't go to church. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for church. I didn't want to be around God's people. But now, when I got saved, guess what happened? One Wednesday, when we got home from work, I hadn't told anybody I got saved. I hadn't even told Pam. And we were standing in our bedroom at 132 Wood Creek Drive. About 4:30, 5 o'clock, I said, honey, I think we're going to go to church tonight, on Wednesday night. You know what? I wanted to be around God's people.
Yeah. Amen.
I had long hair. Can y'all imagine me with long hair? I had long hair. I went to church with my long hair. Boy, everybody just welcomed me, made me feel right at home. I went to the barber shop. I told Joe, my barber, I said, Joe, cut a little extra off this week. It didn't happen all at once. I said, Joe, cut a little extra off this week. Next time I went, I said, Joe, cut a little bit more. Next time, I said, Joe, just cut it up above my ears. He said, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? I said, I got saved. I want to be around God's people.
Amen.
I wanted to look like a man. That's just me. That's just what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. What happened? I had a desire for fellowship.
Yes.
I still do. I had a changed attitude toward the saints. I got to quit. Not only will there be a desire for fellowship, there'll be a sharing of the burdens. Sharing of the burden. We're to bear. There's some burdens you can bear. There's some burdens you can share. But there's some burdens you can't do nothing with but turn them over to the care of the Lord. But there's a lot of burdens we can share. We need to change attitude. Then, in a changed attitude to the saints, there'll be forgiveness without exception. I didn't say approval of sin, but I said there'll be a forgiveness without exception. Did you know if we hold all in our heart against our brother, it's no use for us to pray. God's not going to hear our prayers. Mm-hmm. Might as well save them. If we hold aught against our brother, if we hate our brother, how can we hate our brothers and say we love Christ? That's what John Amen. Said, isn't it? We'll have a changed attitude. We'll have a attitude of forgiveness without exception. Mm-hmm. You say, but preacher, you don't know what they did. No, but I know what Christ did.
Amen.
He forgave me without exception. That don't mean approval. That don't mean that sometimes there don't have to be discipline, but we can forgive them. We don't hold aught against them. That's hard to do sometimes, but I believe it's a biblical doctrine. A changed attitude toward the saints. Number four, this is the last one. We have a changed attitude toward the sinners. If we have revival. You know what? We'll have compassion for their soul.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you tonight. You don't have to confess, but I will. There's been times I didn't really care about the souls of men.
Yes.
So how do you say that, preacher? Because I proved it. I never tell nobody about Jesus.
There you go. Amen.
I know compassion.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't want to see anybody in hell. Don't get me wrong there. I have no compassion on souls of men. Tell nobody about what God done for me. You say, I can't witness. Are you saved? If you are, you can witness. Mm-hmm. You can tell somebody about what God did for you.
Amen.
Amen. God opens up that door. You can witness. There'll be a changed attitude toward the sinners. You'll have compassion for them. You'll have an effort that'll compel them. You'll have a life that'll create a hunger. I'll close with this. A place my wife worked at for many years, she retired from. There were probably a couple of homosexuals that worked in her building in her area. Everybody knew she was a preacher's wife, knew she was a Christian, knew what she stood for, knew that she did not approve of that lifestyle according to the Word of God. But she lived a life in front of them that one of those homosexuals, when they had a problem, you know who they would seek out for counsel? She could witness to them then because they approached her. Now, most places, you can't approach them or you lose your job. But if they approached her, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can live a life that will make a difference to the people around you, the way you conduct yourself. But if you're not careful, you'll fall into that old routine of just going along with the crowd. And even though you may not cut up and laugh with them, you'll stand there and listen to it. Because you want to fit in. You don't want to be a weirdo. You know. But I want to tell you, if you live a life pleasing unto the Lord, it'll make a difference in those around you. And you will have, you by your life, you can witness to them and compel them, and you can make them hungry for what you've got. Won't be everybody, but it'll be some. Hey, I want to be revived every day, don't you?
Yes.
Lord, revive this work in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation. Help us to make a difference. Pioneer Baptist Church, make a difference. There are other people out here in Thurmont that need the Lord, don't they? You probably run into them every day. Sometimes you might have a chance to witness to them. You might have a chance to invite them to church. You might have a chance. You know what? Brother Coblins, my flesh didn't want to say nothing to that boy today, spiritual speaking. My flesh, but you know what? When God opened that door, you got to step through it. When the Holy Spirit of God opens that door and somebody's ears are tuned in, hey, we ought to take that opportunity, amen, and share the good news. You never know how that might affect, just like Brother White right here, bringing his friend to church on Sunday morning, doing a Bible study. But you never know when that might come to fruition. I'm just saying, Lord, wilt thou not revive thy work in the midst of the age, the years, in this world that we live? Lord, would you do it? Hey, let me ask you something. Do you want it?
Oh, yes.
Do you want it? It's up to us, isn't it?